Well, the real prize for us every Friday is being able to talk to the lovely and talented Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, who's forgotten more football than we'll ever know. Chris, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
It's good. I'm doing great, and it's great to be with you guys. Happy Friday to you.
We asked earlier on a scale of 1 to 10, and we always like having you provide logic and reason. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that the Patriots-Seahawks matchup in Foxborough this weekend is a preview of the Super Bowl?
You know, I would put it pretty high up on the meter, and that's just anticipating that I think this Seahawks offense could get better as the season as the season goes along. I think in the NFC, and for that matter, in the AFC outside of the Patriots, I see teams that are a little flawed. They're good in some aspects, but it's going to be as it is every year about who gets the healthiest and who improves the most from now to the end of the season. This is when it really starts to kick up and you can really start to see teams separate. I mean, for example, can Baltimore start to get that defense playing better? Last couple of weeks they have. I know it was the Browns last night, but it's things like that that I look forward to see, because right now I don't look at the NFC and see any great teams. Dallas is good. Still worry about their defense. Atlanta, same way. Seattle's offense is what I would be concerned about. I think it's as good as any NFC pick at this point, quite frankly.
You know, Chris, I got to ask you, kind of staying on Seattle for a moment. Obviously, that whole kind of series that went on at the end of the first half with Richard Sherman and the hit on Dan Carpenter and all of that huge debacle. Well, now the NFL has fined Sherman $9,000 for a late hit. And he's now coming out complaining that they basically made it unappealable because you can't hear the whistle on the game film. And he said he couldn't hear a whistle during the game. Is this just the NFL trying to cover up what was a bad officiating disaster for them?
Possibly, Kay. I mean, it's to me, it was a mistake. I think that when you look at it, I think when you officiated on the game field, you are reacting to a certain situation, set of circumstances, and when you're looking at it in the after effects, I think definitely the league, the league's in a spot. They put themselves in a spot where we're going to protect players and whatnot, and you're not going to find a guy for that. That, none of us can say whether he heard it or not, but it was wrongly officiated on the field, and I think trying to make corrective measures is what they needed to do.
Well, and Chris, too, I mean, you talk about that and shift focus just a little bit here to Cam Newton and the Panthers. I mean, he's been appealing since the beginning of the season, and he just had two more, I guess, non-flags that were considered non-flags upon appeal by the league. When you watch those plays, specifically, Mark Barron basically just leading and diving in with the crown of his helmet, how can you justify, I guess, those non-calls against Cam Newton if you're the league?
Well, I don't think you can, particularly when you look at it. I can tell you my theory has been for the on-the-field officials, for guys like Cam Newton and Ben Roethlisberger, who play some out of the pocket and are big, strong, physical guys, officials are monitoring a lot of things, and they kind of grade the flashes, as we call them, meaning, they'll see it. They may not completely see it all, and oftentimes it's the reaction of what happens, the blow, the effects of the blow that usually leads to the call. And I think with those guys, it doesn't affect them as much. It doesn't make the foul any less of a penalty, but it is often missed because of it. And because they're outside the pocket, I think they're more vulnerable as opposed to guys that are in the pocket. But I don't think there's any doubt that guys like Big Ben and Cam Newton get some they get some calls that other quarterbacks would get, and I think it's something that they can correct on replay and should.
Chris Landry joining us on KHDK. I want to go back to the Cowboys, and I want to be clear. I don't disagree necessarily with what you said. Almost not to put words in your mouth, but like you don't trust them, that defense, and it's interesting with their record. They have played a rather easy schedule despite four of their eight games, being against teams at or above 500, three of those wins, the one-point loss to the Giants. When you look at just the pure stats on the surface, Chris, they're seventh in points for. They're fourth in points against, which really surprised me. Their differential is just 2 points behind the Patriots at plus 83 for number one in the league. What is it about the Cowboys that we don't trust?
Well, I can't speak for anybody else, but for me, it's the defense. The defense is being protected. Those numbers are accurate, but they're being protected by the offense. And that's how they have to play it, by the way. Meaning their defense is not on the field a lot. The defense is fresh, and there's a lot of gaps between the defensive series. That makes your defense better. And if that can continue all year long, certainly they've got a great chance in the playoffs. My concern is just overall personnel may not be good enough. And I say may. They quite frankly, everybody else, Seattle's offense, Atlanta's defense, I mean, Dallas is right there as good as anybody else in the NFC. But if we're going to break down teams outside of New England, I've got question marks about everybody in terms of can they sustain. And what I worry about, and while I favor teams that are great defenses, as opposed to teams that are offensive-based, if you get into the playoffs and you have a game where you're a little bit off offensively, if Atlanta is not, somebody can get them off their mark in the passing game, if somebody can slow down Dallas's running game and they expose their defense, that becomes a problem. And that's why defenses usually, you look at the playoff games, it's usually you have to have good defenses. You certainly have to have balance. You have to have good offenses. But you get exposed more in the defensive end in the playoffs. That's what would be my concern about Dallas, about Atlanta. And, you know, again, if Seattle's offense doesn't get better, and it's getting a little better, but if it doesn't, then right now I'd probably favor Dallas. But I'm trying to anticipate for everyone as I think – we're going to see some teams separate a little bit and some fall by the wayside. I think everybody in this league is flawed outside of New England. And we've all seen situations where if a couple of things happen to them, all of a sudden they come back to the pack. You never know.
Chris Landry at LandryFootball.com joining us this morning on The Drive. Now, you're talking about the Cowboys, and there's been a lot of good with them, one of them being Ezekiel Elliott. But there's been plenty of claims recently. News coming out yesterday that the NFL is investigating an alleged incidents of domestic violence with something that happened in February. Obviously, already had one that they investigated and cleared him of that happened this past July. Chris, is there any way that this investigation could affect the Cowboys this season, or is this a process that takes quite a while?
It usually takes a while, but I can't answer it, Kate. I don't know. I don't know how quick, I don't know what they know, and certainly I'm not privy to what's happened from a criminal standpoint. I'm very aware of the story. These things normally take time, but if something were to come out definitively, it absolutely could have an effect on him as soon as this year. There's just really no way to know.
Chris, you keep bringing up, the shortcomings in the Seattle offense, and I can't help but feel like this has gone on basically since the beginning of the Russell Wilson era there. They start off the season especially slow offensively. They maybe lose a game they shouldn't because the offense cost them. They have a scare or maybe even a loss at home. But here we are now. They're 5-2-1. I can't help but feel like we're going to look up at the end of the season and they're going to be, 11-4-1 or something like that.
Right.
They've managed to peak at the right time is my point. What is it about them that, I guess, is it Pete Carroll? Is it a coaching staff that helps you get into that mode of, hey, if we grind through the first few weeks and we peak near the end of the season, then that's how we get it done?
The consistent problem has been for Seattle in this run offensively, and their problems is the offensive line. They have missed on guys that they've taken high, and more recently what they've done is taken later round guys that Tom Cable can kind of mix around and try to figure it out, and they get better as the season goes along as he's an outstanding offensive line coach. But there's deficiencies there. Certainly no Marshawn Lynch. They have no ability to run the football and control the game like they used to there. Russell Wilson has not been healthy, although if you see him in the last week or so, his movement skills have gotten better, so the ankle appears to be healing. And they've got Jimmy Graham involved in the game. In essence, they have become more of a passing team, and Russell's played pretty well. And if they can protect better and find an ability to create balance, I'll say it again. I think that with their defense, they're in pretty good shape. Now, they need to be healthy, need a healthy Michael Bennett. And if they have that, I think their defense matches up as good as anyone. So kind of to repeat myself is who's going to get their weak points figured out the best down the stretch is probably going to be the team that we talk about that quote-unquote gets hot. I think the answer to your question, A, is the offensive line issues has been consistently poor, but B, they're well-coached and they peak a little better as the season goes along. I think well-coached teams know how to do a good job of teaching leverage on defense, getting better and better defensively, tackling as the season goes along, and you see line play getting better. The line play, particularly offensive line play, over an abundance around the league has been poor. Why is that? You can't physically practice a lot in the offseason due to the CBA rules. You're limited in the amount of times in pads during the season. So what it means is the early part of the season is essentially your practice time, your development time. So the teams that get better towards the end of the season are the well-coached teams and usually the teams that get healthy. And sometimes it's, you know, giving guys more time off in terms of practice, or some cases working them a little bit harder, depending upon what's needed. And the coaches that can do that the best and have the best available healthy personnel usually are the ones that kind of kick it in high gear at the end.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Do you have Steve Smith, who passed Reggie Wayne last night on the touchdown list, do you have him in the Hall of Fame if you had a vote?
You know, I haven't thought about it. I don't think a lot about that, but he's certainly someone that I would strongly consider. He's had a great career. I remember when he came out of Utah and, you know, thought this guy's a tough receiver. He's got a chance to make it. Well, he sure has, and then some. He's just plays with an attitude, a toughness, you know, that just defies his size. And, you know, his ability to compete for the ball sometimes is limited to his size. But, boy, he really does a good job of positioning himself. And it is amazing that he's still basically their go-to guy and has been. And I think he took a little bit of heart out of that Panthers offense, quite frankly, when he left. And he's done such a great job over in Baltimore.
Chris,
I'm curious.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Katie. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I'm curious in your opinion, Chris, when you look at kind of the quarterback situations going on with the Jets and obviously the Rams, it looks to me like Case Keenum and Fitzpatrick are just kind of placeholders right now. And we know that Rams fans want to see Jared Goff. Now the Jets fans, after a horrible year for Ryan Fitzpatrick, they want to see their fourth rounder from, I believe it was a year ago, Bryce Petty. So are they? Is the writing on the wall for these two quarterbacks with these franchises?
Oh, there definitely is. But to me, they're different. I think the Jets, it perplexes me in that Fitz is not the answer. He's not the future. And I don't know if they know that whether Bryce Petty is or not. I think they believe that Christian Hackenberg can be, and they're going to basically redshirt him this year. This tells me that they really don't believe Bryce Petty can do much of anything, and they're going to move on from him. Otherwise, why is he not getting some work? And the answer is he hasn't performed well enough in practice and done enough to earn it in their eyes. But to me, I think going forward, if not now, going forward here in the next, you know, couple of weeks at least, they need to get him some work so that they can decide. Because I think that's going to be a complete transformation of the quarterback position. They're going to have to add somebody, perhaps a veteran, to go along with Christian Hackenberg. The Rams situation is pretty clear, okay? I had a feeling this was going to play out this way all along. First of all, I mean, I know Jeff Fisher very well. I work with him. And, you know, I thought Carson Wentz was a little better and more ready, certainly, and a little better prospect. But They like Jared Goff and his potential and what he can be. But Jared, people have to understand, is further away than a Dak Prescott or Carson Wentz, even in this regard, from an experience level. Didn't play a lot of snaps at quarterback and played in a system that really is quantitatively different than a pro system. So I think the criticisms should be more on, hey, did they take the wrong guy? Jeff is not going to rush the guy because if you do that, you're only going to hurt the development of the player. I use this analogy for people that play golf. What do people do oftentimes? They go to the driving range and hit a bucket of balls. And practice doesn't make perfect. It makes permanent. If you're practicing bad habits, you're not getting better. You have to take corrective measures to figure those things out technique-wise. And Jared's not ready. And to put him in there would only get him to revert to bad habits, of which you have to go back and correct. And you got confidence issues, and then you got a mess on your hands. They do believe in him, but they believe in him long-term. The other thing I would say is while Case Keenum has not played well, they need to play better around him. I mean, they're going in and have a chance to get back and win the game last week, and they drop a touchdown pass that he throws perfectly. If they're not starting Jared Goff right now, it's because they don't think he's ready. And, you know, if he goes in and plays well, what is everybody going to say? Oh, they should have played him 8 weeks ago. No, they're working to get him ready. And when they feel he's ready, and it's hard to explain this to people, but they know because they're with him every day in meetings and in practice. I can't say that he's ready last week or this week or next week because I'm not coaching him. But I know through experience that you have a feeling. I mean, certainly they want to win more than anybody. Certainly they want to move on and kind of ply the wares of their young quarterback. But obviously they don't feel he's ready, and Jeff is not going to be pressured to do it. I saw him do that with Steve McNair. And so I knew that this was going to happen again with Jared, and I don't have the answer when they're going to play him, even though that's what everybody wants to know.
Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com with us on KHTK. The Ravens got a big win last night. That division, though, Chris, do you see it? You see anyone pulling away in there talent-wise, or is that just going to be a battle of attrition?
I think it's going to be a battle of attrition, but I will say that what has struck me a little bit is how Baltimore is content. This is another example of what I said. Well-coached team that continues to work getting better and better defensively with some young pieces. You see that is something to look out for, and it really depends upon the consistency of Flacco and getting more playmakers opposite of Steve Smith. And then in Pittsburgh, Big Ben getting healthy. Not playing well now, played awful last week. I think those are the teams to look out for. We know Cleveland's been out since the beginning. Cincinnati just doesn't have Cincinnati doesn't look the same. They are not playing the way Cincinnati has played defensively. And I think it's going to be between the Ravens and the Steelers. And I'd probably give an edge to Pittsburgh with Big Ben, but that's only if he can get healthy and be Big Ben again.
Chris, we're always it always amazes me how quick this segment goes by. Before we let you go, please, where can everybody read you, hear you, and do all that fun stuff?
LandryFootball.com is where we break the game down from inside the film room. My team of NFL scouts and college coaches, NFL coaches that we utilize for a lot of information and evaluations, and we break the game from inside the film room. All the previews and the reviews of the game, all the latest news and notes from inside the walls of the NFL organizations and college teams. Check us out. We've got a 50% discount using the code SEASONAL. $49.99 with $25 going to the flood relief victims in Baton Rouge. You want to just try us out for a month for a limited time only. We're going to keep it going just for a little longer. You want to try it out for a month? $2. TWO is the code, and you can see what we're doing inside Landry Football.
Always appreciate it. We get closer to playoffs. Awesome talking to you, Chris. We'll talk to you in a week.
Hey, thank you so much. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too. You take care. We'll take a break when we come back. USA Today's Sam Amick switches us to basketball. We'll talk NBA on a national scale, and I'm sure we'll hit the Kings a little bit as well. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.